Let us welcome Elizabeth Chapman to the show. Elizabeth, nice to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me on. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just great, and it's a pleasure to have you on. I want to tell the fans a little bit about you. You're born in Boston, educated on the East Coast and in the U.K. You've worked as an academic, English literature, especially Shakespeare, and as a psychotherapist. See, you could get a lot of clients at KMBR, believe me. You've lived in the Bay Area since the mid-70s. You wrote your first poem at the age of 43, which is a complete surprise, a late bloomer. You've seen two books into print. Consider this your true calling and believe that poems are meant to be read or said aloud. The poem itself, The Perfect Game, is a love poem to broadcast radio, and you are one of the dwindling few who don't get cable TV. And the poem tells a story and hopefully brings to life some of the energy of that magnificent game a year ago. Any inaccuracies, of course, are your own. They're not ours, but there are very few in there. It's a beautiful poem. As you said before to me, an artist isn't usually a baseball player, but sometimes a baseball player can be an artist. This was one of those times. So, Elizabeth, we'd love to hear it. The Perfect Game, June 13th, 2012.
Thank you. I'll say the title one more time.
Please do.
The Perfect Game, June 13th, 2012. The radio crackled to ultralife sometime in the seventh inning when Gregor Blanco caught an improbable drive, the ball rising as if of its own will into his glove. And the radio talk show hosts, who'd been preening all day from the foggy groves of the Olympic Club for the U.S. Open, grew mad with jealousy. They'd have traded the divots and fancy irons for one seat in the bleachers overlooking the avocado tree on the sod farm they shear to keep a space clear for the home runs the Astros never came close to. Matt Cain threw up his arms because he knew that a 27-batter game was now possible. Radio, I said, and was not sorry about the cable TV I never got, hearing Dave Fleming implore, "If you're just tuning in, please don't leave us." Growing up a trolley ride from Fenway Park, I've always loved baseball, which was not encouraged in my family. They barely registered the fact, if at all. I did take a leave for a while when some slugger's grand slam, false perfection, turned me off. Anyhow, what one-time long ball could equal the growing power, the slow electricity that doubled and tripled when you knew they were totally attuned, this very high-priced pitcher and the catcher back from a fractured season, Posey, who Cain said he never, not once, in 125 pitches shook off. And the umpire? It did get close a couple times with a 3-2 count in the late innings, impartial, but if he had a choice, he chose early, a generous strike zone. 14 strikeouts, tied with Sandy Koufax for that record, one stat on KNBR, a station choking on them, no time for those commercials I know by heart, Dignity Health and Mattress Discounters, not even time for the Chilton Autobody hit of the game. Those callers so smooth, when it's time for a change, think Speedy Oil Change. At home with the French doors swung open, I keep them closed in daytime due to the infernal and ceaseless construction the whole 5 years I've lived here. I jacked up the volume, needed an Alka-Seltzer, two discs fizzing up, fizzing up. It had been an annoying day in an annoying week. Lawyer, broker, taxes. If that were my whole world, I wouldn't mind running out of money. I'd kill myself anyway. So that might be a little hard on my heirs. The scent of hot rosemary still blew in as our prevailing northwest wind picked up, hearing those voices, the crowd collectively losing its mind. 42,000 people, all of them, standing up, inhaling and exhaling with the guy in the white home uni of the Giants, not caring then about the home at-bats. They had 10 runs, for heaven's sake, just wanting the dratted batting part to be done quick. So the man they call the horse, he gets it done. John Wayne could go back to the hill, six outs, then three outs to go. top of the ninth. I love listening. It had been the usual dreadful day on the world news, Syria, and political sanctimony till he got him. Then, after teammates poured over the rail and dumped a bucket of water on Kane, and the pretty wife, the kiss, the dugout interview, before posing with the groundskeepers one at a time, when John Miller asked, "How did you keep your command?" The announcers knew, even at 100 pitches, he still had plenty in the tank. Kane knew he did, too, like the moment Secretariat won the Belmont in 1973 for the Triple Crown. The pitcher spoke from his art, "I have no idea."
I love it. I love it, Elizabeth. It's just terrific. How long did it take you to put this together?
This was unusual. I've never written, this is my first baseball poem. Usually there's a bit of more over several days' labor. I was walking around Palo Alto the morning after the game, and sentences began forming in my head. I ran into my local coffee shop, which is Coupa Cafe, and I thought, I have to write this down. I had a pen and no paper. And fortunately, I saw a member of my own writer's group that's met every Thursday for 20 years sitting there, and I ran over and said, he was writing, "David, I need 2 pieces of paper." And without, he understood, he didn't say a thing, ripped off 2 pieces of paper, I sat down, and wrote this pretty much as it is in
wow.
the next hour and a half.
Wow.
I just wrote it. And that's what I call a gift. It doesn't happen very often.
Well, it is beautiful. I loved hearing you read it, and I heard you read it once before at the George Krefsky Art Gallery in May, and it was better this time. It was just terrific. It's a wonderful ode to the broadcast team, to Matt Cain, to the fans, and to the love of baseball, and you really captured it. If one wanted to get a copy of the poem, a physical copy, is that possible?
If sometime I would love to make that available. I don't quite know how. I have it in my computer, and I could send it to anyone you felt was appropriate.
Sure.
I don't have a website, but I could send it to you if that could be made available.
Yeah, well, I'd send it to Marty@KMBR.com.
Okay.
And then if people email me at Marty@KMBR.com, I'm happy to attach it and forward it to them.
Perfect.
Very nice. Thanks. Elizabeth, thank you so much. This is a highlight. It was a, excuse me, it was a beautiful, beautiful poem. And, you know, the year went by, and Matt Cain the next day pitched that great game. And then, of course, Bumgarner, of course, we have pitching the game after Cain. And, you know, on the anniversary of the perfect game, he goes out and throws the two-hitter and just dominated again. And it brought it back to me. It brought it back to me. So you really captured it again, and I thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. That is Elizabeth Chapman, and that is the poem, which is called The Perfect Game. So Marty@KMBR.com, let me know, and I'll forward a copy of it to you. Elizabeth will do that. Very nice. I'm glad to bring that to everybody this morning.